Will they find a home? Sponsored by Geico. Jane doesn't mind an apartment with no elevator.
5 flights of stairs is 5 flights of cardio.
Bob is a little less enthusiastic about stairs.
I hate stairs.
Compromise is tough, but these two won't have to compromise when they bundle renters and car insurance with Geico. It's easy, and they could save even more. In the end, Jane and Bob found an apartment that's a 4-story walk-up. And Bob?
Yeah, there's a freight elevator she doesn't know about.
What were you talking about?
Nothing.
Bundling without compromise at geico.com.
Get a load of these!
Shut up, Brandy!
Real Girls on Video going! Woo! Oh, yeah!
Hey, gang, it's Kenny Thomas!
Kenny!
Devin Clone G. Available everywhere.
Beanie?
Yep.
Yeah.
Welcome to Jerry's Taco World. Would you like to try a burrito?
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
No! Here you go, Crisco!
Oh, my!
Hey, it worked! They're gone!
Mom and Tom!
Hey, welcome back to Bits and Pieces. I'm Willie Griswold, joined by Jessica Hooker and Jess Alsman. Jess and Jess, how you guys doing?
Great.
Awesome. We're here with Jason.
This is going to happen a lot, I think.
I know. Well, let's, you know what? You just always go first. That's what we'll decide. Okay. Well, or not. Okay.
Yeah, your name is, should I say Jessica Hooker? And then you go, hi, Jessica Hooker. And,
oh,
I go,
yeah,
and Jessica Alsman.
I love it when we do like off air and like prep work on the air. I love it. I love it when we do it on the show.
Well, no, it's because I've gone up to my dad and made fun of him going, hey, you always say Chick McGee, Ace Con, Christy, going all the way around. It takes forever. Mm-hmm. It takes so damn long. Mm-hmm. And then I have to do this and I feel so bad for him because I don't know what to do. And I go, do I say Jason? Does Jason just talk when he wants to? Mm-hmm.
I say we just go Alsman. Alsman is, there's nothing ambiguous about that.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, Alsman, comma Jessica if necessary, but I can just go by Alsman.
She always responds to Alsman.
Mm-hmm.
Hooker doesn't respond to Alsman.
No, definitely not. No, so, just Hooker.
Yeah.
Cool. So take two. But hey, it's Willie Griswold joined by Alsman. How you doing, Alsie?
Hey, it's great, Willie. How's
awesome.
It going?
Awesome. Going, doing great, doing great. Love a little casual banter. And Jessica Hooker, how you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
See how easy that was? Try that, Dad.
let's organize us by the color of our shirt.
It is so weird when he does that. And he goes, today we're going to go by height. And then me, Chick, Ace, and Josh, all pretty much the same height.
Right.
He always asks.
But it's funny to see everyone else get irritated by it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So maybe he has figured out the magic.
Did he do stuff like that with you guys? Like
when we were
at
children?
Home? Yeah, just random dad things like that?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
We did a lot of really like weird like dances and stuff. And I don't know. We kind of... Honestly, the four of us as a kid, the original Griswolds, we raised a lot of hell.
Yeah.
So I don't think that he needed to have any sort of organized introductions or anything because we were probably biting each other, mm-hmm. pulling each other's hair, yelling, getting right. kicked out of Outback Steakhouse. You know, just
yeah, regular stuff.
Family stuff.
Right. So you're a part of a blended family like myself, and I'm the oldest of five.
Yeah.
And it's not important to break down the mom dad situation, but we always refer to ourselves as the first family.
Yep.
Like
I say
the first group of kids.
I say OGs, original Griswolds.
Okay.
Referring
okay.
to my brother Sam, my older sister, my younger brother Charlie. And
yeah.
then Sally and the rest. I yeah. just call the youngest girls the rest. I don't even know their name. I don't like them that much. But no, they're the greatest.
I will say, what was it? Drumstick Dash. Tom did that video and he introduced the rest, I guess, that the two girls, the last two, as let's meet the cast.
Oh, yeah, that's
like
right.
The family. He referred to them as the cast.
As the cast.
And Chick's like, you're doing a show. You're literally working the...
He is,
he can't turn it off.
He's a showman.
Mm-hmm.
He is a showman. Everything's a presentation.
See, I thought he would maybe deliver food at the table based on your GPA.
Right.
You know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
No, he just, we usually do a little self-serve in the kitchen then go to the living room kind of situation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just sort of just, the big thing about dinner is just making sure that Hart eats something, making sure the little girls just eat something because mm-hmm. they're picky. They're little girls.
Right,
you know?
Right.
They do what they do. But it is always fun going to get going to get dinner over there. I mean, what a terrifying thing to look into. Just to my dad's little life of just him and Kelly and the two little girls. Yep. It's very funny.
Yep. My little sister, my youngest sister is 23.
Yeah.
And she says this is always the best birth control. I see you with your teenagers, and then she sees our two middle siblings with they have toddlers.
Oh.
And yeah, and so we have 2 3-year-olds, and then 15 and 17 are my kids. And she's like, this is perfect. This is why I come over here, to remind me that I never want to do any of this.
Yeah, never.
It works for me. That's why I'm not married. Growing up listening to this show, every year there was a different divorce. And I'm like, why would anyone get married? Mm-hmm. It's so expensive to get divorced. Mm-hmm. So I literally am not married. And I think I've said it once on the air, because they kept picking. I'm like, you want to pick the scab? It's your guys' fault.
Oh my God. Let's call it there. Let's move on to the meat and potatoes, because I don't want to say anything about my parents' divorce.
Hey, first, there is an apology.
Yeah.
After the second episode, we were talking about some voices, and I think Alsman and maybe Willie even said that Laura Steele was on a bit, and I think...
I didn't think it was.
There was a second girl that you and I were focused on.
Oh.
Laura was the first gal in the White Trash Noise Machine.
Gotcha.
So, yes.
Okay.
My apologies. As I went back and I released that episode, I realized, oh, man, we were really adamant. No. She's not in that. And so,
I only know
my
a few
apologies.
Voices. I don't know the old school voices, but the ones I know.
Yeah, she was early on in the bit, and I had forgotten about her by the time the next girl had come up. And that's the one I was focused on. But, yes, there were two, one of which was Laura.
Gotcha.
So, I'm recording this.
I am recording this. Actually.
Yeah, you record
actually,
this for me.
So we're gonna do our first holiday special.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
All right.
This is Halloween is this Saturday.
Yeah.
And so like a perfect time and no excuse not to do Halloween, because everyone has masks on, right?
Right.
Right. So this show is famous for a lot of things, but there are a lot of Halloween bits, let me tell you. And the first one here is a Donnie Baker bit. And I kind of came to this one because a lot of the other ones I can't play.
Sure.
Why is that, Jason?
There we need some edits and that kind of thing. And, again, it was a different time.
Yeah.
There was one that's like, whoa, this is not Me Too friendly at all.
Oh,
you
gotcha.
Know, kind of thing. This one might even have a moment in it that we might cringe and we can giggle about it afterwards. So without further ado, here we go.
Now, here's a letter. Dear Donnie Baker, I have a company Halloween party this year. I just started this job and want to make a good first impression. Plus, I could win $50 in the best costume contest. Do you have any suggestions? Signed, Marty in Michigan. Well, Marty, I think it's pretty damn cool your work does that kind of stuff for you. Hell, we never have good get-togethers here. Even last year's company picnic was postponed because 3 of our co-workers ain't permitted by state law to be within 100 yards of public parks. I swear to God that's true. And Jamie Barnes, who works with me, he's that guy that's got one hand smaller than another. Looks like a back scratcher. Well, anyways, he sued the company because Randy tried to say he had to bring a covered dish. So I told my boss, it's kind of hard to hang on to a covered dish with a bad pincher, Randy. You're lucky you don't get sued. I swear to God I said it right to his face. So none of our parties ever happen. They always get postponed. But I still got some good ideas that may get you a raise or win that best costume contest. First of all, Marty, Halloween's a free pass to get crazy. So do something crazy, something that's going to get you noticed. Like, go to the party, man, and just start groping some of the hot women you work with. And if your boss asks what the hell you're doing, just say your costume is a sexual harasser. I swear to God you should, man. Every office has one, so it's a good relatable. Plus, you might get some bites on some new prospects you never thought were game to begin with. I mean, it could lead to a good long-term affair. But sometimes the old classic costumes are the best. That's why you see so many of them. Just tape a couple bolts to your junk and tell people you're Porkenstein. I swear to God you should, man. And just to make sure you win the $50, paint it green. I mean, not so green it looks diseased. Just make it look ripe or infected. Your boss will think if you got the balls to do that, then you probably got the balls to make big decisions for this company. I swear to God you'll get a raise. So good luck at the party, man. I gotta go.
That's great. Was that a call-in or prepared bit?
He used to do a daily bit like that. And that was probably a Donnie's mail sack. It might have been just trimmed off from the front end. And he did those quite often in that era. And if I had to guess, that was probably 07-ish.
Probably. Kind he of, sounds, kind of Donnie sounds very young.
It's a little bit, yeah, a little bit younger, Donnie.
Less
that's a good
jaded.
Way to put
it. I was thinking even younger. Like, I'm trying to think, I was probably in maybe high school.
Mm-mm. Donnie no? didn't start till about 05.
Mm-hmm. I was in high school then.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Wow, this is something.
I've said it before. I'll say it again. You two are damn dinosaurs.
Okay? We know.
Just joking.
Yeah.
That's a really funny, weird bit. So we all cringed at the little Me Too movement.
Yeah, that was the one I forgot. It wasn't too bad, but yeah, there was the fact that he put in there. Every company has one.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Did everybody think of the one? I did. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Too funny.
Mm-hmm. It's about education, Donnie Baker.
It is. Yeah.
It's about
education
and telling people, you know, gotta be careful out there.
Right.
Porkenstein.
I really remember hearing that for the first time and thought that was hilarious.
Well, and he brought up Jamie Barnes, which at some point we need to put a family tree of sorts.
Good call.
Of who all he mentions quite frequently.
Uh-huh. We got Uncle Sonny with a U and Uncle Sonny with a O.
There are two of them.
Yes, right? There are. Yeah.
Mom Phyllis. Does he ever talk about real mom?
No, never talked about real mom. Real mom or Mom Phyllis, you know, there's always a little sexual tension.
Sure. There's Wolfie as well. So
we've got Wolfie now.
Down.
Yeah.
Wait, Phyllis isn't his biological mom?
No, it's his stepmom.
What?
Yeah, that's why he talks about her being a stripper all the time. And it's not so creepy.
Cousin Lonnie.
There you go.
There's a Lonnie,
And then you have all of the pork pistols.
The pork pistols. Did he ever have a different member of the, it was the same guys?
I think when he talks about them on the show, they're the same guys. But then we all know the tragedy that happened, and we lost a pork pistol because they walked through a security checkpoint at a caused a big riff on the road one time. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, almost shut down an airport while we were trying to get to a show.
Was Tim Wilson there?
Tim was with us. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was hungover and nervous and didn't know how to exactly handle the situation. Threw up on the plane. And Tim Wilson goes, Jesse, I think you picked the wrong job. And I was like, yeah, I did.
I love to imagine like Tim Wilson going through TSA and the person's like, hey, can I see your ID? And he's just like, let me tell you about identification.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't required until 2007. Just some like weird story.
Yeah, we have a lot of those. I traveled with Tim the most. He was on the most shows with us. After the people from the Bob and Tom family, like Donnie Baker, Chick, Christie.
Sure.
Yeah. And then it was mostly him and Drew Hastings. Mm. We were together a lot. Yeah. So it's wild. And then there's some people that were on that tour that I don't even know where they are now. Kiki Rogers. Do you remember him?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was on a lot of shows.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I have an off the air story for that.
Okay.
We'll share it later.
Very cool. Do you guys want to get into this next bit and we'll take our headphones off and Jessica will tell us her story?
Sure.
Speaking of which, this next one is an on-air moment of the show, which to me are really special because I've pulled quite a few of those through the years, and maybe we'll do a whole show of just moments of them yapping on the show for 3 or 4 minutes. But this is just a couple minutes. And this is quite a while ago because I think it will date, as Willie calls us so old. We'll prove it right here because he's maybe 4 in
this one
when they refer to her, something like that.
Okay.
So we'll just let this one roll. Here we go.
Yes. I just received a fax.
Mm-hmm.
Dear Bob and Tom, greetings from Ames, Iowa.
Hello, Ames.
I have a simple request of Chick. Please do your impersonation of Tom's daughter Lucy on Halloween. Now, Tom, if you'd like to set the stage.
Well, let's see. The stage was...
Halloween.
You were trick-or-treating at my house.
Well, we had just moved to a new neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And we had wanted to meet our neighbors, you know. Mm-hmm. And so we decided to have the neighborhood Halloween party at our house.
Sure.
But anyways, then we went trick-or-treating in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
I have 4 little kids.
Right.
And they're all dressed up. And they've gone through like 4 different costume changes during the day. They had the parade at school. But after we went trick-or-treating, we wanted to go over to trick-or-treat at Chick's house. So we got in the car, and it was, let's see, I didn't have Charlie, did I? Or did I?
Yes, all four of them were there.
I had all four of them. Okay, Charlie's my 2.5-year-old. And let's see.
And there's Willie.
Willie's 4, and Lucy's 6, and Sam is now 8. Wow.
So Tom and I were standing in my living room talking about something at the front door, and Tom and I continued to talk, and we were into this really deep, you know, kind of a, for us, philosophical conversation about, you know, life and everything. And all of a sudden, we hear Tom's daughter, who's Lucy, who's 6, on the front porch. She comes to my screen door and says, "Come on, Daddy!"
Yep,
only I think it was a little meaner.
Oh, my gosh. So I'd never heard that until about a week ago, I want to say.
Yeah.
I must have heard it as a kid growing up, but I never heard that story. That is so funny, and it's my favorite thing Chick does. He's in here. He's on the rolly chair. He backs up, and he yells.
yeah. Always.
Never heard that before.
I hadn't either. Yeah, that was my first time. I love how young they sound. They sound like different people, kind of. I mean, actually, they do. But then the thought of them standing in one another's living room. I know that that's not the point of this bit, but that's right. still the scariest part of the whole Halloween theme right there.
Can you ever imagine my dad coming in and saying, "Yeah, I threw a Halloween party for the whole neighborhood."
For the whole neighborhood.
Even pre-COVID, that would not be him.
No.
That would not be his move.
No. You know what, though? Would it? I mean, you would, obviously, you know, but I feel like he would do it with people that like are further away. Like he said, we moved to a new neighborhood, so he didn't really know anybody yet.
He would do it at a third party location.
Right. Oh, yeah.
He would do it.
Right. Not his home.
Exactly.
Yeah.
In some sort of parking lot or something.
Yeah.
I could see him throwing money towards an event. Like, oh, is the neighborhood doing something? Here you go.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Let me help provide.
He loves helping out. I'll send an ice cream truck over.
Right.
I'll get a bounce house for the kids. Right. But it's not, I want you to use the same bathroom that I use.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And I just want to point something out. My sister Lucy is very sweet.
Yeah.
She's a genius.
Yeah.
She just got like her second master's degree from Harvard. She's the greatest. She's the sweetest person in the whole world. But she did grow up in a household of 3 crazy boys biting each other, being morons. And now it should be noted it has switched. It was 3 guys, 1 girl. There's been sort of a 7-game series switch where out of nowhere, 3 more girls came, and now it is a girl's household.
Right. So your dad has had to raise, like, this is doing it all over again and not in the way he did it the first time.
Exactly.
That's wild, yeah.
Initially, with the first round, with the original Griswolds, Lucy had to be tough. She had to be ready to kick some butt. And so, come on, Daddy!
Yeah.
Love it.
I don't think she was mean,
no.
But I think she was assertive.
She was trying to be heard. 6-year-old girl, you got things to do, over it. Heard it's boy talk.
Yeah, for sure.
She stood her ground.
That's
gosh,
funny.
That poor girl.
Was she always bossing you guys around as kids?
No.
No?
Not really, not bossing.
Yeah.
I definitely had a pretty extended, my sister dressing me up like I was her doll phase.
For sure.
Several photos of me in pigtails with mascara. Seems like everyone's having a good time except for me.
Yeah. You're the younger brother though, right?
Yeah, I'm the younger brother.
So you had to deal with it.
Exactly. But no, yeah, she wasn't bossy. She wasn't like a mean sister. She was a great sister. But from that bit of the way Chick goes, I think only she said it meaner than that. No, she's very sweet. Yeah, God, that is so funny.
I always think about how easy it would be. And you know, somebody had to take their kid and dress him up like Bob, you know, put a mustache.
Oh, for sure.
L.A. Dodger hat.
Oh, look at the little cigarette. Yeah. That's cute.
But what would Tom's character be if you dressed up your kid?
Back in the day or now? Because I would think they'd throw a blonde wig on him and...
Well, because that's what I was going to say, because back in the day, Bob would have the cigarette because that's what the artwork reflected. Mm-hmm. But now, the current Tom one, it would not be as much fun. It would just
be
a boring khaki shirt.
Oh my gosh, I want to see baby Tom.
He doesn't use a cell phone protector, but if I dressed a baby up as baby Tom, I'd give him a cell phone protector for some reason, if that makes sense.
Right. Gotta cut the socks. So they're falling off, too.
Oh, yeah. Do you think that you could dress up your 2 youngest sisters like Bob and Tom this year? You could snap a picture.
I could try to arrange that.
Yeah.
I think if I got Finley involved, she could have a lot of fun with that.
Yeah.
She loves a little project, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe I could try to sneak that.
See what happens.
Yeah. I will not do a little candy cigarette, though, because I would be afraid their mother would kick my ass.
No.
They're called candy sticks now.
Yeah, candy sticks when you get them. They still, in some states, they still say cigarettes when you buy them. Yeah.
That's unreal.
Yeah.
And also, to be clear, not because she's mean and would kick my ass, but because I am influencing her children with tobacco.
Right. Well, there's that. Yeah.
Not a good look. Which, by the way, I don't know if you guys heard this, but my dad... told a story about me smoking cigarettes on the air, which I'm working on. I quit over the summer and I'm quitting them again, baby. But he told a story about it. And then little Finley came up to me and she goes, Willie, I was listening to the show. I didn't know you smoked cigarettes.
Right. I go, no, I don't do that. It's never.
I felt like such a jerk.
That's your patch right there.
I know.
Yeah. And I didn't. I mean, again, like we said, we're dinosaurs, but my kids are so just They know so few people that smoke that when they do, they're just like, they're smoking.
Yep.
I was like, yeah, they're smoking. I would smoke if I could too.
Sometimes the doctor has to tell your parents, don't smoke in the house, go outside, or at least roll a window down. She has asthma.
Yeah. I when my kids were little, I would still occasionally go outside and smoke a cigarette. And it was usually after bedtime, and they occasionally would sneak down, and I would always, I'm spraying for bees, go back to bed, but there's bees out here. That was the only way they wouldn't come outside, is if I told them there were bees.
This is mommy time.
Yeah, and so for the longest time, they would smell somebody smoking, and they would go, somebody's spraying for bees.
Yeah. That's like when someone told me that when I smelled pot at a concert, I go, what's that? And they go, it's a skunk. And I go, man, every concert I go to, there's these damn skunks. I don't know what the issue
in
is.
There.
All right, should we play our next bit?
Yeah.
Back to Halloween?
Yeah, this is a full-on Halloween piece right here with a little special, appearance. So here we go.
It's the most horrifying thing you'll ever experience. Mortifying. Hideous. It's not a haunted house.
Hey, Mr. Fix-It. Can't help but notice the door's still squeaking.
It's the haunted spouse.
Honey!
Yeah?
I was just at the hardware store.
Oh, really?
There are 50 bags of damn mulch in the van.
The haunted spouse. Scarier than a haunted house. Because at least you can leave the house.
I hope you're not planning on laying around and watching football all day. It would be nice to get a little help around here. Just for once. And while you're at this door, don't forget the tampons. And you better use the damn coupon.
The haunted spouse. For hours and locations. You know who to ask because she knows everything.
Who are you talking to?
Nobody, dear. Sorry, just finishing up here. The Haunted Spouse is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year for the rest of your sorry ass life. Oh, God.
So, Jess, I have a question for you.
Yes.
How did it feel when Dean or my dad or whoever came up to you and they go, hey, we're doing a bit, and we need a woman, and she needs to be kind of just mean and nasty and annoying, and you must have something like, oh, I can do some sort of character voice, and they go, no, you're perfect.
You're perfect, yeah.
You're perfect just the way you are.
It actually was Marty. I think Marty wrote the bit. And,
yeah, it sounds
and,
like a Marty bit.
Yeah, so Marty came and got me, and he said, hey, and it was actually the first thing I recorded when I came to this new area.
Oh, you're joking.
No, so I was very nervous. I did a couple of things in college, and then I did a couple of things for Dean that were very small, but a recorded bit, that was the first one. I was scared to death. I was so nervous, and Marty sat back there in Mark Allison's office with me, and it probably took a little bit longer than it should have, and he was like, no, and he's just, he is a great coach and producer in those terms, too. I mean, Dino's the best. And I just never had worked with Marty, and I was scared to death. my Marty story. I don't know if you remember this, Jason, but when Tom hired me, Marty always is not in the know, it seems like. And so Marty called my office desk and said, do you work here now? I said, yeah, I do. Maybe we should talk. I said, okay. And I hung up the phone. I was like, oh my gosh, Jason, what do I do? I was like, Marty wants me to come back there to his office. It was still in the way back. And I said, I don't know what to do. I'm so nervous. He goes, look, do not fill the silence. Marty will leave gaps and not say anything. And he just wants to see what you're going to say. Don't get nervous and just start talking and filling the silence. Don't do it. There were moments, it felt like an eternity, where I was just sitting across from Marty and we're staring at each other. I was like, don't talk, don't talk, don't talk, don't talk, don't talk. And Marty is, he has become a very close friend and mentor, and I talk to him regularly and love him to death. Absolutely. So, yeah. But it does speak to Marty for Marty to go, hey, come here. I think you're going to be good at this.
You will be great at this. We've got the role you were born to play.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And is that him doing the guy's part in that, the announcer and husband part?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
Just tuned down a little bit or whatever? Mm-hmm. Gosh, that is so... My favorite moment from that, get the tampons funny. Mm-hmm. Do not forget to use the coupon. Mm-hmm. Incredible.
Yeah, yeah. And him laughing at the end, I think that's just, how it falls. And that's like a chick laugh. Chick does that sometimes. Yeah, the laugh cry. Yeah.
Are the chick screams?
Does chick do one of the screams?
It sounds like the screams are chick.
Oh, I don't know.
Sounds like.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, I missed it.
One sound like some sort of canned scream that we use on other things. And then specifically the football. Are you just going to lay around watching football here all day?
Oh, yeah.
Ah! It sounded like chick. I thought it sounded like chick.
I agree.
Yeah. It might be. That's funny.
No, I thought you did a great job on that bit. That was fantastic.
Yeah. That's like a great one to start with, too. You're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Just and to really I was, and I, pick
and,
at him.
Right. And back then, you still like hold back a little bit. Like you can hear like where I just kind of capped it off and didn't go as hard as I probably could have because I was nervous. I didn't want to. Yeah. I wish we still did more stuff like that just because it's fun. It's just fun to play those roles and do that.
Absolutely. Yeah, that is a really weird bit that it's I don't know, it's like a very, it feels very Bob and Tommy,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
it's in that sort of haunted meeting family, I guess. It's under that same umbrella, I guess you'd say.
How many of those do we have, the haunted?
Quite a few. And the very beginning, I could sit here right now and play like five or six that basically start off the exact same.
Really?
That sort of feel that.
Yeah. Those are always
fun. The haunted meeting. We had obviously the haunted spouse, which we just played. Haunted radio, haunted restaurant line, haunted rock concert.
I did not know about all of those.
I'm going back to the vip.bobandtom.com to listen later.
Right. Yeah. I don't know what all's on there because obviously we've had to sanitize some things through the years,
mm-hmm.
Not to our liking, but you know, sometimes you got to follow the rules and the rules seem to change now and then. So, but yeah, that's there's quite a few good little Halloween. And like I say, Donnie had, I don't know, he has six or seven. I listened to some yesterday and I'm like, nope, next.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So Donnie, you said Donnie starts 07?
05.
05.
The story of Donnie, in a nutshell,
mm-hmm.
I believe Bob had just got married in April of 05. I think it was 05.
It was 05, you're right.
Because we just started here in this mm-hmm. room we're in, January of 05.
Mm-hmm.
And Donnie himself had been wanting to call for a while, but as he said, he was too chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And so he did it while Bob was gone.
Really?
Yes. And then what happened, the way I understand it, Tom loved it, but Tom said something in there, he said, twist it and do it this way and call back again when Bob's back next mm-hmm. week. And he did it and it killed and the rest is history.
Well, I remember initially was it a different name? Was it like Dusty Baker or something?
No.
Or was it always Donnie Baker?
So Dusty Privet is the drummer for the Pork Pistols.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And Donnie modeled that off of where he grew up, where his family was from. And then he's told me before that it was Tim Wilson that gave him a little tweak and said, do this later on.
Later on,
and
yeah.
And really he found his, mm-hmm. what he still has now.
So our original bass player is who this character is modeled after. Mm. He's the guy that walked through the secure location at the airport and almost shut down the airport.
Incredible.
Yeah, so it's actually after his a best friend from school. Yeah.
Leave it to a damn bass player.
Yeah, that's it's actually, oh, hey, time out. This guy was not a bass player. He just wanted to be so much a part of the band that they gave him a bass and gave him just enough instruction to not mess up. If you met, I hope someday you can meet this guy in real life. Have you ever met him? The real, it's actually two people from high school that he's kind of meshed together.
Yeah, one of them's like, last name starts with an S.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I love how secretive this is.
His first name's Carrie.
Yes, yeah, yes. Yeah, that's exactly, one I recall.
Yeah, and oh my gosh, you could just listen to Ron talk about these guys for hours. Yeah.
Sounds like a good Donnie Baker episode of Bits and Pieces.
Oh, where in the world would we start? Yeah. Yes, I know, right?
You have to pick just the mailbag.
Yeah.
Alsman, I was going to say, is that the first kind of character that you remember like coming into the show? If you're in high school, is that when you start listening, high school?
No, I started listening when I was really young. The parents, you know, driving my brother to school. So I was even younger, not in school yet, in the back seat. And then it just was always on whenever Mom had to go to the, you know, shopping, or if I went to the doctor, and my brother and I just regurgitated everything, and we all sang it kind of as a family. We heard songs, but character-wise, I don't know what the first character I would have heard was. It wasn't Donnie, but when I started dating my Donnie, the first thing my brother says is, oh, is that Donnie Baker?
Mm-hmm.
And that lasted about a year of him saying, oh, Donnie Baker?
Yeah, that name.
And, yeah.
And my Donnie's like, what?
I do just love the idea of every day, long day of work, and then you go home and you're, you know, ready to get into bed, and it's like, hey, baby, you want to come up and go? I like having that, and excuse that terrible Donnie Baker impression.
I love hearing people do their Donnie Baker impression. Yeah. I think that's, yeah.
Well, Willie, I don't know if you remember this, but you had to be junior high-ish. Well, see, how old were you in 05, 06?
05, 06, I'm like fifth grade.
Okay, so it was probably sixth or seventh grade, I'm guessing, because it was probably a few years later. And I was taking you to school, and we were listening to the show, and sure enough, Donnie came on, whatever. And then I did my Donnie Baker. Hi, man, you know, that whole thing.
That's good.
And you straight deadpan is like, you know what, that was really good, but not as good as Ron's. And I wanted to, I'm like, you little, of course not.
Just a little.
Because he's the one that does it.
Snooty comedy kid.
It was great, yes.
I mean, am I not my father's son? Look at that.
Yes.
No, that's a
so
great
good.
Beatles cover, but the Beatles did it better.
Yeah, exactly.
What a little jerk.
Yes, it was wonderful, though. Stuck with me.
Hard. Yeah, and then, you know what, Jason? And this is a weird memory, and I can't even believe I'm saying this out loud. I have a very vivid memory. You were the first person, this is going to sound so weird, you know, crossing your legs, how a lady will do it tight.
Yeah.
That's when I was a little kid, I was a little weird kid, and I crossed my legs like a little girl. And I was just living my whole life crossing my legs,
right,
standing with my hands on my hips. I remember one day Jason crossed his legs where he just put putting your ankle over
your knee.
Yeah. And you got a paper out and you're reading the paper. And I remember seeing that going, that is the coolest way I have ever seen a guy sit. I'm going to go home. I'm going to practice that. I'm going to see if it's better with long socks or short socks. Oh, I am going to figure out how to sit like a man.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
That's fantastic.
I vividly remember that.
I can't imagine how many of those little moments, because you can tell that you're very intuitive now in how you observe the people around you and you respond, and that's what makes you so great on the show. I think that growing up and being exposed to all these different people and these different talents and going, oh yeah, I'm going to take that and I think I'm going to use this and I want to, and like building the Willie character, you know, but also like this is that you got to choose from so many different people and be positively influenced by them. That's pretty awesome.
No, sure. Because you want to be cool like Bob and you want to be silly like Chick and you want to be smart like Christy and you want to be right like my dad.
right.
And you finally stopped crossing your legs.
Yeah, I finally stopped
like
crossing
a lady.
My legs like a little lady. I was just such a little kid. My poor football coach used to tell me to stop standing like a girl. Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
In his defense, I did.
Well, let's sneak one more bit in here.
Okay.
Perfect. Speaking of characters, maybe this was an early character that Alsman grew up with. We'll see. But let's roll this one.
Good morning, Bob and Tom Show.
Well, good morning. This is Ernie Fergler calling from Fergler's Hardware.
Hi, Ernie.
Boo.
Oh, you scared me.
Oh, I know. Just as a reminder, once again, to all the folks listening, coming out to the store, I just want to remind them about our pumpkin display out front.
Mm-hmm.
The pumpkin sizing holes out there that are all in a row cut out onto plywood sheets up on the dock, those are for sizing the pumpkins and that alone. Mm-hmm. Which is why, to answer Ed Fleener's question earlier, there are no privacy dividers or stall doors.
Okay, I see.
Einstein, I think it's pretty easy. Those are for sizing pumpkins.
I got you.
Well, listen, the boys in Screen Doors have given me a Halloween fire safety video that they said we need to do, and I know this is a bad idea to go ahead and play it. I have work to do. Go ahead, Jason. Roll the damn thing.
Screen Door Productions presents Halloween Fire Safety and You. When reveling in Halloween activities, it's important to follow all safety guidelines. In the absence of such caution, be sure to have on hand the Fergler 500 Fire Defeater at your disposal. Available on aisle 5 at Fergler's Hardware. Lighting your jack-o'-lantern and other candles during Halloween, one must be careful that loose clothing does not catch the flame. Here's Amber and Megan, dressed as traditional witches for Halloween in their flowing black capes and long black skirts. Uh-oh, they're about to light their jack-o'-lanterns on their sorority's porch. Matt knows that Mr. Nasty Fire is about to have his way. Matt knows just what to do by yelling out, "Hurry, take off all your clothes!" For insurance purposes, Matt whips out his trusty Polaroid. That's right, don't be half-safe. Take off all your undergarments, too. Matt explains,
"It doesn't matter that you're not on fire yet, Amber. You could have been. Now get those clothes off and run inside and tell all your other sorority sisters to do the same thing."
Matt knows all about fire safety and explains further,
"If you really want to be safe, you should all get in the shower together."
Good work, Matt. Be sure to tell the girls once inside the shower together naked, lather each other down with creamy warm soap. Because soap is a fire retardant, too.
Really? I didn't know that.
You heard him. Lather up.
There you go. Everyone likes a reach around. Nice work, Susan. By following these few Halloween safety fire tips, your Halloween will be much
better. What the hell is going on? Jason, Matt, and Amber, please report to my office immediately.
The boys at Screen Door Productions. Mm-hmm. So was it just you and Matt, or?
Yeah, he just brought us up just because we kind of were a pair of
they were.
Yeah.
That's a famous Ellie story, Chick's daughter. Was it you that she was introduced to?
You know what? I can't remember. I think it might have been Matt.
It might have been Matt.
Because so I feel like it was, yeah.
Yeah, she was here and she was young. It may have been around this time. And she, I think Chick said, "Yeah, this is Matt. And she goes, "Oh, of Matt and Jason?"
Yeah.
she just knew them together. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he and I, he hasn't worked here for, I don't know, 8 years or something.
Yeah.
7 or 8. And we counted, a rough estimate, we had lunch together probably a couple thousand times.
Sure. Oh, easy.
I mean, almost every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know what other people used to call you around the office, but it's something that people can't say anymore in
the
office.
Right.
But
yes.
When I first started working here, it was fun to hear.
Yeah.
A couple
blanks,
of
you guys. Hey, guys.
Yeah.
Hey, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Basically.
But yeah, we love Salji, who did that, who does, mm-hmm. Steve Salji does that piece. He does all the voices.
Ernie.
He does,
including the narrator and the Spicoli.
Yeah.
Basically, voice. And I just love how the narrator is interacting with the Matt character, mm-hmm. you know. Way to go. Good job.
Matt's careful about safety.
Yes.
And then just to really quickly reference, Matt is also Donnie's boss, Randy.
Yes. Correct.
Yes. He would kind of holler in the back of some mm-hmm. of the old bits.
Yeah.
Yeah. Back to that bit. Salji is so funny.
Oh, gosh.
And that is, I mean, that's peak Salji. That is the best mm-hmm. of the best of those call-ins.
Yep. I had a really fun, I should say phone call. I don't want to say interview because I feel like I know Steve, but building some content for other things. I sat on the phone with him for like an hour and a half the other day and just asked all the questions. And I was immediately like kind of fangirl with him, just thinking, oh my gosh, like I have heard your voice almost my entire life.
Well, so we got... We have Ernie Fergler.
Mm-hmm.
We have Dick Kitzwater.
Right.
We have Larry King.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Clinton. And insert any other politician,
male. All presidents.
All presidents, yes, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And those that wanted to be president.
Right.
That goes out to you, Al Gore.
Because he did Al Gore as well.
He did Bob Dole.
He did.
He did Bob Dole. Yeah, same thing.
What about Ross Perot?
Probably,
I bet he did, for probably, sure. Yeah.
Although I think Amanda on... All that did a better Ross Perot. Was that her that did Amanda Bynes? Did she do that?
I think she did. Yeah, I remember
pretty dead
that.
On too.
God, Ross Perot, good Lord.
Yeah.
You're
right?
Welcome, people listening.
Yes, you're welcome.
We got political.
This is pretty fun because after I go home, I have the opportunity to Google Ross Perot.
Yeah.
Shut up. You at least know. Well, I think he would run just to throw off votes.
It was the 92. I think it was the 92 election. That's the big one.
I'm figuring it out.
Dana Carvey's going to come up more than
maybe
the
that's
Ross
why
Perot.
I think I know it's
exactly.
SNL. Then.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. He also did Captain Dave, which is probably one of my. Did you say that one? Maybe you did.
I did not say that one.
Okay.
No, that's great.
He's one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. And our Dick Hitswater. It's. When he, I don't know if he means to stumble sometimes, but when he does, I laugh so hard.
Yeah. Or if he calls out Tom, like, you're the one that wrote this.
Yes, exactly. So you see, and now that we're able to watch the show, and you see Tom's reaction, and you know what Tom was meant to type, and what Steve was supposed to read, and those two things collide.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can, sometimes you can watch my dad sort of doing karaoke.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Here it comes.
Here's my favorite line.
Sort of mouthing it or whatever.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, those things are so fun. Those Hitswaters are a lot of fun to put together.
Yeah. We don't hear from Ernie as much as we used to.
No, he was almost a daily call there for quite a while.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a lot of fun.
My favorite term was when he had Mulch Madness going on in March.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my favorite, the first time he called in that. Mm-hmm. Well, we should probably wrap it up now. We'll leave a cliffhanger because I don't know. We'll decide afterwards here.
Okay.
But the question is, do we want to do some election pieces next week?
We got Doug LaDouche. He got back in 98.
Can we play mine? I have one that I don't know if we can play.
For Congress?
Yes.
I think we might have to. We might just...
I don't think there's anything really, really, really terrible about it.
I don't think so. There's
really, really, maybe really, but not really, really,
put it
really.
This way. Here's Jimmy Mad Dog Matus, who used to work here in the building with us. He always said, you know, just do it and ask for forgiveness later.
Yep, that was, he taught me that, yeah.
We all learned it from him.
Yep, for sure, for sure.
So.
Well, you heard it here. Show prep happens right here with the mics on. That's what's going to happen next week, maybe.
Yeah. And you know what? Let's just open this hole. If you want to just change the intro of the show, how we introduce everyone by height or by hair color or whatever the hell it is, you know, tweet at us. Tell us, say, hey, idiot, you're introducing them wrong. Call one Alsman. Call one, I don't know, double Jess, Jess 2, Jess squared. We have a lot of options here.
Yeah,
we do.
Cool. Thank you so much. Thanks for listening to Bits and Pieces. We'll see you next time.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Null. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.